Second inning. The west side of the ravine in which Tricia had taken her rest stop was considerably steeper than the side she had come down. She climbed it with the aid of several trees, got to the top, and headed over more even ground in the direction the voices had come from. There was a lot of underbrush, though, and she swerved around several thorny, close-packed patches of it. At each swerve, she kept her eyes pointed in the direction of the main trail. She walked in this fashion for 10 minutes or so, then stopped. In that tender place between her chest and her stomach, the place where all the body's wires seemed to come together in a clump, she felt the first minnowy flutter of disquiet. Shouldn't she have come to the North Conway branch of the Appalachian Trail by now? It certainly seemed so. She hadn't gone far down the Kezar Notch branch, not more than 50 paces, probably no more than 60, 70 at the most. And so the gap between the two diverging arms of the Y couldn't be very big, could it? She listened for voices on the main trail, but now the woods were silent. Well, that wasn't true. She could hear the sough of the wind through the big old west country pines. She could hear the squawk of a jay and the far-off hammering of a woodpecker digging his mid-morning snack out of a hollow tree. She could hear a couple of freshly arrived mosquitoes. They were buzzing around both ears now, but no human voices. It was as if she were the only person in all these big woods, and although that was ridiculous, the minnow fluttered in that hollow place once more, a little more strongly this time. Trish started walking forward again, faster now, wanting to get to the trail, wanting the relief of the trail. She came to a great fallen tree, too high to climb over, and decided to wriggle under it instead. She knew the smart thing would be to go around, but what if she lost her bearings? "You've already lost them," a voice in her head whispered, a terrible, cold voice. "Shut up." "I have not. You shut up," she whispered back, and dropped to her knees. There was a hollow running beneath one section of the moss-caked old trunk, and Tricia squirmed into it. The leaves lining it were wet. But by the time she realized this, the front of her shirt was already soaked through, and she decided it didn't matter. She wriggled further, and her pack hit the trunk of the tree. Thump. "Damn and blast," she whispered. "Damn and blast" was her and Pepsi's current favorite swear. It sounded so English country house somehow, and backed up. She got to her knees, brushed clinging damp leaves from her shirt, and noticed as she did that her fingers were trembling. "I'm not scared," she said, speaking out loud on purpose because the sound of her voice whispering was freaking her out a little. "Not scared a bit. The trail's right there. I'll be on it in 5 minutes, and running to catch up." She took off her pack and, pushing it ahead of her, began to crawl under the tree again. Halfway out, something moved under her. She looked down and saw a fat, black snake slithering through the leaves. For a moment, every thought in her mind disappeared into a silent, white explosion of revulsion and horror. Her skin turned to ice and her throat closed. She could not even think the single word snake, but only feel it, coldly pulsing under her warm hand. Tricia shrieked and tried to bolt to her feet, forgetting that she wasn't yet in the clear. A stump of branch, thick as an amputated forearm, poked agonizingly into the small of her back. She went flat on her stomach again and wriggled out from under the tree as fast as she could, probably looking a bit like a snake herself. The nasty thing was gone, but her terror lingered. It had been right under her hand, hidden in the dead leaves, and right under her hand. Evidently not a biter, thank God. But what if there were more? What if they were poisonous? What if the woods were full of them? And of course they were. The woods were full of everything you didn't like, everything you were afraid of and instinctively loathed, everything that tried to overwhelm you with nasty, no-brain panic. Why had she ever agreed to come? Not only agreed, but agreed cheerfully. She snagged the strap of her pack in one hand and hurried on with it banging against her leg, casting mistrustful looks back at the fallen tree and the leafy spaces between the standing ones, afraid of seeing the snake, even more afraid that she might see a whole battalion of them, like snakes in a horror movie. Invasion of the Killer Snakes, starring Patricia McFarland. The riveting tale of a little girl lost in the woods and... "I am not..." Trish began. And then because she was looking back over her shoulder, she tripped on a rock sticking out of the mulchy earth, staggered, waved the arm not holding her pack in a doomed effort to keep her balance, and then fell heavily on her side. This sent up a flare of pain from her lower back, where the stump of branch had jabbed her. She lay on her side in the leaves, damp, but not all nasty squelchy like the ones in the hollow beneath the fallen tree, breathing fast, feeling a pulse throb between her eyes. She was suddenly, dismally aware that she didn't know if she was going in the right direction anymore or not. She had kept looking back over her shoulder, and she might not be. "Go back to the tree, then, the fallen tree. Stand where you came out from underneath and look straight ahead, and that's the direction you want to go in, the direction of the main trail." But was it? If so, how come she hadn't come to the main trail already? Tears prickled the corners of her eyes. Trisha blinked them back savagely. If she started to cry, she wouldn't be able to tell herself she wasn't frightened. If she started to cry, anything might happen.